Okay, we're going to deal with some of these issues that we raised yesterday. Just to remind you, some of the things we discussed yesterday, the main topic was the fact that the Agoda seems to be based around the Yesod called Seder, which is structure, an importance of structure, stress on structure, which Lamaika we find in terms of Mishum Luba, Mishesh Mibration, not just a matter of the structure within the writing of the Haggadah per se, but rather all Asaph somehow represents an element of structure. And yet when we went around and examined the Haggadah itself, we find this to be almost chaotic, almost bizarrely chaotic, I would say, with a lot of unanswered questions. We pointed out that there's also unquestioned answers. There's a lot of things that are both unquestioned in the sense that they don't seem to make sense, but also no question was asked which they're supposed to answer. A lot of tangent, a lot of meandering narrative that doesn't seem to be going anywhere, doesn't belong anywhere. We reviewed the details of each part, particularly the parts of Makkid itself, and we found it apparently very wanting. And I made some suggestions yesterday for a modern Haggadah, one that would make more sense. Obviously with tongue in cheek, because the topic of all this is to prove that the Haggadah as it is a fantastically accurate understanding of what it was that the Torah was telling us. But in any event, as a naive observer, it certainly would seem much more logical to structure the Haggadah like this. Before Kadesh, to have Kol Mitzrin Yeise V'Yeva. Because after all, we're not inviting people after we sit down and make Kiddush. We're inviting people before Kiddush. We start off with Kol Mitzrin. We have to cut out the part about Kol Mitzrin Yeise V'Yivsa, since there is no Korban Pesach. We couldn't possibly invite them to a Korban Pesach, even if there were, because it's impossible to be Nimna La Pesach at this late date. Would have to be Erev Pesach at the latest, not today. And then we could have Kadesh. I suggest that we take Ruach HaTzav entirely, because Ruach HaTzav doesn't have any purpose. It's just logistics. If you want to eat Tarfas, you have to have Nitzilat Yadayim. But I mean, theoretically, if you would eat it with, let's say, a fork, plenty of sheep just hold you don't need Nitzilat Yadayim, so we could just leave out at Ruach HaTzav. Tarfas, fine. Willing to accept that. Yachas doesn't make any sense. I suggest that we leave out Yachas, because Yachat means to break a whole matzah, where the important thing is that you're supposed to have a broken matzah. And since anyway we use two whole matzahs in order to get the lechem mishnah, there would be no problem in having a half a matzah between the two matzahs. Then we wouldn't have to sit down and have a special section of the Seder called Yachat where we sit and break it. That didn't make sense. Okay, then Magid. Now the details of Magid. Holah ka'anya, cut out, because it belongs later with the discussion of Pesach Matzah and Mor. It doesn't belong at the beginning when we're not going to discuss Matzah at all. I suggested also taking out the Shana above out of Yisrael and so on, because that belongs later on with the song. And in fact, it appears there again, the Shana above Yerushalayim, and so we can rely on that. There's no need to start off with it over here. I already said we should get rid of Kol Tzrich Yetzev Yitzchak. We should put Kol Tzrich Yetzev Yitzchak before Kadesh. Now, we certainly should not begin with Manish Tana, because that doesn't make any sense. We ought to start with Maisav Rebbe Eliezer, which is to tell us about how great the Chiyuv that we are about to embark on is, sort of a Hineni Muchana Mezuman, so that we should appreciate how much we're doing when we're being Misafer Yitzchak Mitzrayim. And then, after talking about Maisav Rebbe Eliezer, we should then go into the Keneged Arba Banim, because first we should know about the children before we say the questions that they're going to ask, how they're going to ask the question. And of course that's also important to have first, because it ends with Yochel Merosh Chodesh, so it's important to establish that the Chiyuv is particularly tonight before we do the Chiyuv. So all of those things which are introductions to Magid, which I'm suggesting is the Maisav Rebbe Eliezer and the Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Tera and the Yochel Merosh Chodesh, those are introductions to let us know about the Zman HaChiyuv, the extent of the Chiyuv, the way in which Sheila takes place. That should come first, followed by the Manish Tana. which then should not be followed with Avodah Mayinu Lefaru B'Mitzrayim, because anyway we're going to be talking about Mitzilot Avodah Zorah Hoyer Avotenu, and that ends with Yaakov Avonu B'Yorcha Mitzrayim. So it makes much more sense to first say Mitzilot Avodah Zorah Hoyer Avotenu, keep it in historical order, end with Yaakov Avonu B'Yorcha Mitzrayim, go back to Avodah Mayinu Lefaru B'Mitzrayim, and at least that way we have everything historically correct. Then, we should leave out the whole love on this, that doesn't have anything to do with anything, and go directly from Avodim Hayinu to Pesach Matzah Morah, which is one of the Ikar Chiyudim of the Agoda. I mean, we're supposed to be saying all of this Agoda over Pesach Matzah Morah, so why don't we start off with Pesach Matzah Morah? And that should lead us into a discussion of the various nisim and the various makos and so on. And here, we should put in the whole Achmar. Because we leave it out, it's the Masjid Rishon Lokno, Shumashim, Shloim, Pikpatekam, but we don't talk about why it's broken. So what we should say over here, whole Achmar, to explain that Lohis Pikpatekam is only part of the story, but there was also Mukhiv and Matamoni, which is supposed to be broken, and therefore Darkashol Oni the Prusa, besides which Darkashol Oni, as we said, the Gemara says, he uses the fuel very efficiently because he doesn't have enough money to afford wastage, so he banks as matzah, not as kumis. But that would be a logical place to put in the Halach Ma'anya. And then we should have the description of the makos over the Pesach Matzah Morah, because after all, it's there to be the kain, the lechemoni, over the lechem. Then we should go to the Bechol over the Chayavot Amirot at Atzmo, after we've finished discussing the Makos, and then we should follow that with Behisha Amda, because now that we've described what happened in Mitzrayim, so we can say, and you should know that not only is what happened in Mitzrayim important at that time, but it also has implications with Doros, instead of putting it where we do, where it appears to be nothing but an artificial attempt at creating relevance in advance of the Sefer, where the Sefer is supposed to be relevant in and of itself, not because it has application to Russian Jewry or anything else. As I say, I mean, it smacks of one of these conservative attempts to make a, you know, to make a fifth coast and all this kind of stuff in order to make that go to relevant. It's really not necessary to do that. And then, after we talk about the Nisim and so on, then we can go directly into Hal. That would make much more sense than the hodgepodge of E. Seder that Lamaisa we have in front of us over here. So, to review with you once again, yesterday we were astounded, I hope, I certainly was, to discover that the truth is the whole Haggadah, the essence of the Haggadah, ends up being the Hisham. And that what appears to be the tangent about love on Arami that has nothing to do with anything is, in fact, the only chiyuv that the Mishnah lists of being Mekayim Haggadah with. And as the Rambam points out, it is the only way in which one can be a Mekayim, the chiyuvim, the who, shiyidrosh mi'arami ovidovi achid ma'kola parasha, v'chol ha'mosif u'marit bedrash parasha zov arayt ha'meshuvah. You try to talk about anything else, you turn to your chumash into bo, or b'shalach, or Shmos, discuss the actual Yetzias Mitzrayim, or the Makos, or the Shibut, you're not Yotzi. You have to say something about Lav and Aram, which the parsha begins with Aram Yovirov, which is Lamaita Parsha Bikurim. That was rather astounding, but anyway, at least it restored our feeling that the Baal HaGad is following very clearly what the Chiyuvim are in the Torah. Now, where did this come from? How did Chazal know this? What right does the Mishnah have to say that the only way that you can be Mekayim in the midst of Haggadah on Pesach is through Arami Ovidovi? So we said, well, that's very clear. It's because the two chiyuvim, remember, there's really four Lashonas that have to do with Dibur over here, but only two of them tell us how to be Medav. Now, the four are Dibur. As Ram says, Mitzvah, I say, Liz Sapper, and in fact it says in the Pasuk, Lamas Sapper Shmi, and so on. But there's a din of Sefer. Sefer has to do with counting or recounting. Then there's the Mitzvah of Zohar, which the Rambam learns is Machayev speech. That's the marker that heals him. He says, just like Zohar is Yom HaShabbos, it's Machayev in Shavdol. But then we have two additional Lashonos. One is the Lechem Oni, which the Gemara learns is Machayev Aniya, Lechem She'oni Malov. The other is the Gadita, which is Machayev, a type of speech. Note that both Aniya and Haggadah is a type of speech, as opposed to Sefor and Zahira, which is not a type of speech, but rather describes the purpose of the speech. There's two completely different issues over here. Now, Aniya and Haggadah, declaration, we said exists only in one place in the Torah. Higatziyayom ve'anisa ve'amarta. Both of those appear only in one place, and that is Parshat Bikurim. So, Mamela Rami Yoviyov, Higatziyayom Hashem Lokecha, ve'anisa ve'amarta v'tnei Hashem Lokecha, those happen to be the key to understanding the field of Lechem Oni, and the key to understanding the Higatziyayom Lokecha. Mamela, the Torah is teaching us, we must make Parshat Bikurim on Vela Seder. Now, the shaila is why that's true. But certainly that's reflected both in the Mishnah and in the Rambam, and of course in Halacha and the Mishnah and Haggadah itself, that's for sure. Why was it? It was rather amazing. Why was it? So we analyzed yesterday, again, what is the purpose of the Yetziyah? The purpose of the Yetziyah is not to be Moshe Kol Yisroel from Mitzrayim. Matter of fact, that was Moshe Rabbeinu's terrible mistake. And because he made that terrible mistake, he lost his right to come there to Israel. It was not the Matzah for Israel from Mitzrayim. I'll show you that in a moment in the Pesukim. It was not to give Torah, because the Torah is only brought as an aside to be an oath, the Zelecha Oth Ke'ani Shelachticha. The oath is that when you get out of Mitzrayim, you'll be Tavdu at Elohim al Ha'azeh. But it's certainly not the purpose of the Yetziyah, no matter what any Musar will tell you. No, in fact, Hashem says very clearly what the purpose of the Yetziyah is. You see, Moshe Rabbeinu comes at the end of Bo, at the end of Shemot, and he says, Ribono Shel Olam, you did a terrible job over here. You sent me to take them out. Lama Zeh Shelach Tami. To which Hashem responds, and we learn out from that. Now you'll see, but you're not going to see when we have the Milchemet, and so on and so forth in Eretz Yisrael. What is then, what was the mistake? So Rashi explains at the beginning of Ashala that Hashem says, to Moshe, by Davar Elohim al Moshe by Yomer Lav Ani Hashem, by Yerol Avram el Yitzchak by Yaakov by El Shaddai, Ushmi Hashem lo nadati lehem. The Gamaki Moshe has briefly Yitam Adet Lehem et Eretz Kenan et Eretz Bugrei Masher Garuba. Says Rashi, what does this mean? First of all, he does appear with Shem Hashem Davar Yaakov. What do you mean, Shmi Hashem lo nadati lehem? Says Rashi, the meaning of this is not that they don't know, of course they heard the name, but Shmi Hashem implies an overall existential reliability. It's composed of the words for existence. That I was known to them with my various midos of Elohim, of El, of whatever, Shakai, that's wonderful. But they never saw me, says Rashi, as being simply there. As being someone who, if I speak, that is an existential determination of reality. That's the way it is. If I make a haftacha, that's the way it is. It might as well already have happened. They never saw that. Shmi Hashem lo nadati lehem. And I made them promises, says Rashi, that I never kept. What were the promises? Well, I told them, the Gamani, it says, and Mitachakot Yitzrayim, the Gam, I mean, Hakimoti has preceded on the Titlan of Teres Kanan and Teres Mugurema Shigaruba. So, I made promises, says Rashi, that I haven't kept. That's why there's going to be easiest to try to cut out this business about Hitalvis America and so on. That's silly. That's, first of all, that's not the purpose. The purpose is not to be mosque-building. The purpose is to show Shmi Hashem that I am reliable 100% in my Atochos, And therefore, I have very important cosmic purposes over here. Don't bother me with some minor issues. And it's interesting. The Medrash Mamash brings with the Lashon where Moshe Rabbeinu says, Atzilo Yisalta Samecha. It's an incredibly chutzpah statement, but the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu says, what do you care if they're stealing kids up inside of Pitom and Ramses' wall? It doesn't seem to bother you. To which I'm going to throw away, is you're right. I wouldn't take them out for that purpose. You can't rely on that purpose. That's the question. They're being disfollowed, they're not being disfollowed. They're doing tshuva, they're not doing tshuva. That's not the issue here. The Hatzolah of Yisrael is a result of something that cannot be changed. There's a Hatzolah here which I must. This Hatzolah, my friends, is so important that it defines the nature of Kolat Torah Kula. Because the very last words that we find in the Torah describe Moshe Rabbeinu's last moment, and it says, "Vayal Moshe me'arvot Moav al har nevo rosh ha'pisgah, vayareu Hashem et kol ha'aretz, et ha'gilad, adan, bet kol naftali, bet eretz Ephraim u'menashe, bet kol eretz yudad, hayam ha'acharon, bet ha'negev, bet ha'kikar, bikat yirecho, yitzmorim ha'tzoach, vayomer Hashem elav." Says the Gemara, and Rashi brings it there on the spot, this is the last words of the Chumash. Obviously, this isn't intended to be gratuitously mean to Moshe. Here's the land, but you're not going to go there. No, the meaning is, Asher nishvati l'Avraham v'yitzchak v'yakov l'emor. Lamar, says the Gemara, means Leh Emor. Go and tell Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, Shvuah shenitzvati lachem, Tiamtiam. Tell them that you saw, you were standing here, and you saw that they were about to go in there to stroll. And Shamalot Havor means, says Rashi, Chabal. Because I would rather that you lived until you would see them, Nitzu'im ba. And then you'd be able to go to Avram Yitzchak and report that I kept my promise completely. Like this, it's only going to be an incomplete report. What's more, the beginning of the Chumash. What is the first Rashi say? That's what the Torah should have thought. In this week's text, meaning that from the point of view of Hatzol, from the limited point of view of the Torah as being it's part of the way in which we learn to do mitzvahs, that's all we need to know. Start with the first mitzvah and go on. The first mitzvah that we got as a nation is HaKadosh HaLachem. Why then were we given Kol HaTorah Kula up until the moment of HaKadosh HaLachem? Says Rashi, again quoting the Medrash, because of Koach Ma'asav Ligid La'amola Tetla Ma'akav Goyim. The whole Torah was only there in order to establish the right Torah Yisrael. And the end of the Torah ends at the moment that those rights have not only been established, but that the Shvuah is deemed to be Nitzach. Which means that the entire purpose of the Yetziyah was only in order to have Yerusha Zorah. Because the entire Yerida was only in order to have Yerusha Zorah. Because the Yerida was only because of the question of the Ma'ayna. And therefore the Yetziyah is only a true Yetziyah when we get back and there's no more problem of the Moeda. Therefore, the things that we have to say are exactly what we say when we walk into the Beit HaMikdash, Andrew. We walk into the Beit HaMikdash and we say, Yigadzi Hayom Hashem Elokecha Kibasi El Haaretz, and so on and so forth. I am hereby made that I see that you, God, are Mekayim your Haftarah. What then is the Meisha Amda? Precisely that. The Isha Amda is the way in which we say that Hatzaka works. We've seen it work. So that the Higadati Hayom, the way in which we're Mekayim the word Higadati Hayom, why don't we say the whole Parshat Bikurim? Why do we only say the part about V'anisa V'amarta L'tnei Hashem Lokecha Rami Yovidovi? Where's the Higadati Hayom Hashem Lokecha? Well, what is the meaning of Higadati Hayom Hashem Lokecha? I hereby declare the purpose of what it is that I am about to do, which is to indicate to you my full awareness of the fact that I have indeed been your Yerushalayim betrothed. But that's exactly what we do with Vihisham. The Vihisham is our declaration, and therefore, as I said, many people do it by Amida. It's our declaration that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Neman Mekayim Haftachosav, which is the whole purpose of the Yitzhiyah. Now, the problem is, if that's the case, why do we have to present Vihisha Amda as being topical? In other words, why can't we just say the same type of thing that we say at Parshas Bikurim? Yes, I say that we did come there to throw, and we did build the base of Ikash and so on and so forth. Issues which we mentioned in Dayenu, as a matter of fact, for that purpose. Well, why don't we just say that? Why do we have to say, and not only was it something that was relevant then, but it continues to be relevant. Why is the issue over here, the continuation, I just don't no time for the chakra time, is the continuation for of the relevance? That's the question. Why does that have to be topical? Why don't you say, Bonu El Ar? So that should be enough. Why does it have to relate to other problems that we have in each generation? Ol Dor V'Dor, Om Di Malenu Kalasinu. But, gentlemen, remember that this is precisely what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe. What did Hashem say to Moshe when he said, what's your name? Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's your name? What did he say? Which means, says Rashi, who knows? So in other words, the word is not something we're just thinking up to be relevant. It's a direct translation of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the meaning of the Yitzhiyah is. Moshe says, well, why do we have to mention other Shibudim? This is terrible. I get very depressed. Let them think this is the end. But it was necessary to bring out the other Shibudim. Where do we see in the nature of Bris Ben Hapsorim itself that that's true? This whole Vehisha Amda, remember, what is Amda? What's the Vehi? Bris Ben Hapsorim is Amda. Where do we see in the Bris Ben Hapsorim itself that it's necessary to say that not only been Mitzrayim, what? No? Different. What are those sorrows? That's a remnant of Dovah Melon. Exactly, the Afela Koshef and so on. What is the meaning of Vinay, Imah, Gidolah, Kashikha, Gidolah, and Nofela? So what is that? Kashikha, Gidolah, Nofela, Salah. Nobody knows the Rashis, nobody knows the Medrash. What's going on? Those are the four volumes that are Marum and Smitok Mitzrayim. So in other words, Shibud Mitzrayim has within it this statement, V'hisham Nelavazinu V'lam, just as the Akiya Asher Akiya of the Shem Hashem has within it also a remit to various Shibudim. So there must be something about Hisham that is an expression of whatever is going on in Mitzrayim that is central to understanding the whole point of Geula over here. It's not just that we're taking an example from Mitzrayim and we're making it relevant. It's that somehow or other this is Nogea, the whole reality of what a Geula is. Now, in order to understand why this is true, I want to ask you a question. Take a look in the Rambam. Get your Rambam, Perek Zayin, I hope you have them. Please, every day, well, we only have one more day. But maybe we'll have more for those guys who remain. Who's remaining? So maybe we should continue. Anyway. So, look, until now, what have we discussed? We've discussed, in Halakha Aleph, we've discussed the issue of Zechira, Zechor, Yesi Yomah Zerachar, Yisrael Mitzrayim, and Haggadah. Each one of these Tehillim is in Megala on the other one, as to when, what, purpose, and so on. But, this is all in terms of your own personal awareness. The Rambam continues in Halakha Bey, Mitzvah, Lahodiya, Lebanim, Vafil, Lo Shalom, Shinema, Vigarta, Levincha. Besides the mitzvah, that I've been discussing with you until now, says the Rambam. There's another Indian in the Haggadah. That other Indian is to communicate with your children and to tell them. It's sort of similar to the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah, right? Now, people have the mistaken assumption that that's the essence of the Sefer, is to talk to your children. But the truth is that the Rambam had never said that there's a separate Chiyuv of Haggadah as opposed to the Zechira. Remember, the only way that we know that Zechoras Hayom HaZeh is meant to be done tonight for the Leil HaSeder is because, says the Rambam in Halacha Aleph, because it says, Vihigadat Alevin Krav Hayom Ahu, which means Vishah Sheishmat Tamor Munachim Lefanech. Now, if those are two different issues, if the Higadat Alevin Krav is different than the whole mitzvah of the Zechor, how can we bring a Raya that it stopped at tonight from Higadat Alevin Krav? We just say, well, it's Duchi over here. Zechoras Hayom HaZeh, that refers to the whole day. Then there's a separate mitzvah of Higadat Alevin Krav, which we do at night, and there, maybe it's good for you already to be out to your Chiyuv of Zechor, but certainly we're not going to bring a Raya that your mitzvah of Zechira specifically on the night of the day. So it's obvious that, and this is based on the Mechilta, so it's obvious that Chazal see that Higadat Alevin Krav as a Giloy Milta, an indication of how to understand your awareness. Nonetheless, the whole point of your halacha phase is that you are mechuyev to communicate, to get across these ideas to bond. Now, that's sort of unusual. I mean, which one is it? Is it your chiyuv, the chiyuv of your bond? Now, we do have something sort of similar where your own thoughts in terms of Talmud Torah, your knowledge is supposed to be communicated to your child, and that is part of the same chiyuv as your own learner. There's only one mitzvah in the Torah. Limud al-Lame is one mitzvah. Now, maybe this is similar to that, but then that leads us to another question. Why is it that we don't have the same riboy that we have by Talmud Torah? When it says that you should teach Limadatam of Tomas B'nechem, what does that mean? Does it mean only your children? Is the mitzvah of Limadatam of Tomas B'nechem a din in child?
No.
Well, what does it include besides?
No.
It does include yourself, you're right. What else?
Everyone, coming generation.
Anyone who comes to you to learn, Talmidim. And how do we know that it includes Talmidim? No, that's your friend's son, but but how do we know that this is Bichlal, Limadatam Osamas B'nechem is Talmidim? No. Yes. Exactly. The Gemara says, "Banecha evu talmidecha." By definition, because the word "ben" would mean someone who represents the way that your life is. Doesn't necessarily mean your genetic, your biological child. Why? And we use it in that sense also when we talk about someone being, oh, he is a worthy descendant of Newton. We don't mean that he was fathered by Newton. We mean that this is somebody who follows a line of thought, right? So the name of the Maritam of Tamiz B'nechem includes Banecha Elu Talmidech. We have many riots in the Therapist, B'nei HaNavi and so on. Now, is there such a halakha by Pesach that your Mukhiyah to be Modiah, your Talmidim, as opposed to your Bonim? No. No, it's a shalom. Why don't we have such a law? Why don't we talk about Banecha Elu Talmidech over here too? We gotta talk. Levin Chabayonahu. What's more is why is there Bichlal such a tremendous stress on children? Everything around here sort of revolves around children. We have, if it isn't, I understand if really the whole purpose of Haggadah is to be Modia, your children, then fine, I understand why everything revolves around children. But we've shown that that's not the case. Precisely the same fear of Avogadro, whether you have a child, you don't have a child, or is it just an additional way in which one goes about achieving his Haggadah? And yet, we talk about the Arba Bonim over here. We have every story that appears in the Torah that has something to do with the Yetzia, has to do with children. Whatever happens, it's going to be because your children are going to ask you in future generations. Four separate parshios like that. And what's more, we find that every time we deal with the concept of Eretz Yisrael itself, it's always in terms of children. To the point where we have almost the exact type of stukim appearing. Let's say when Avram Avinu is told in Lech Lecha, that the Zaracha Atena Baratha goes, so it says, those same exact words, literally word for word, appear at the beginning of the Yetzias Mitzrayim when they finally see that things are moving their way. So in Vogue, we find the exact same lashon. We're over there. It also says, "Ushmartem es hadavar hazeh lachok v'chol v'nechar olam," and "Va'yuki amru aleichem b'neichem ma avod hazot v'chem," "Va'yuki davo al ha'aretz," "Va'yuki amru aleichem b'neichem ma avod hazot v'chem." So it says, "Va'yikodam v'yishtachavu." Why "Va'yikodam v'yishtachavu"? Says Rashi, "Al b'surat hazera," because he said there were going to be children that were going to ask them. The Abaturat Aris, said by Yakitavol Aris. Literally the same exact words that appear by Avram. But this is true by every single one of the Avos. Every time we have a Kodesh Baruch Hu giving a bracha, Borayaz Naraka, Kafar Aris, Yaakov, and this Aris Kokayat Mena. I mean, what does Kafar Aris have to do with necessarily the Yerushas Aris? Or even by Yaakov, I mean, when he gives brachas to his own children. All of those brachas are just the definition of their chelek in Eretz Yisrael, as Rashi points out. So his connection even to how he's seeing his children as being amshach of himself is defining their chelek. And what's really crazy is that that pasuk in Bo, which is talking to Klal Yisrael about the fact that they're going to have children in Eretz Yisrael, you know what it says over there? V'hayaki amru alechem b'neichem ma ha'avodah azot lachem. What children are those? Which one of the Arba Bonim says Mama does a bakem? Rush. The first child that they're told about is the Ben Arusha, and that's the child that Vayikodam Vayishtachav. They bow down on the Surat HaZerah, that Moshe says, you should, no, don't worry about it, you're going to have plenty of Rishoyim for children. Oh, Baruch Hashem, they bow down, and they're very grateful for this. Sort of unusual, I mean, okay, you want to let them also know that they're going to have Rishayim. It's okay to also let them know they have Rishayim. But why should that be the Iker of the Surat HaZera? That doesn't seem to make all that much sense. Well, as we pointed out yesterday, what was the problem in the Mo'eda? What was it that Avram Avinu was unwilling to accept? That he would have children? On the contrary, the Torah contrasts it to, at that very moment, even though it didn't happen simultaneously, as Tosfos points out in Brachos, the Torah accepts that he would have children. On the contrary, the Torah contrasts it to, at that very moment, even though it didn't happen simultaneously, as Tosfos points out in Brachos, the Torah puts it together, as if it happened at the same time. That, he says, look around, see how many children you're going to have, you'll have children like a star. He believes when Hashem told him he's going to have all the children. And then Hashem says, listen, I'm going to give them Eretz Yisrael. He says, Hashem, this is Ramay Dagir Hashem. So what? Wasn't the problem of his having children? And in fact, at the beginning of Lech Lecha, when we say, the Zarakat, he also didn't have any problem. He goes and he builds him his Be'ach, gets very happy on the Surah there, huh? And then the Bitsura are very controlled. No problem. Doesn't say Bamari Dagir Hashem. So we were medayik yesterday that the only problem that Avram Avinu had, and therefore the only reason we had to be yorek to Mitzrayim, was that one word, Yir Hashem. That was the problem. Not that he would have children, not that the children would have Eretz Yisrael, but how do I know that there will be a Yerusha? The difference between a Yerusha and a non-Yerusha is the difference between Bonim and Talmidim. Do Talmidim inherit you? No. They can be your spiritual heirs, and you have a kid who's a rotten slob that you hate his guts, and you wish you could cut him out of your will, but the Torah doesn't give you any way of doing that. And what happens? The child gets all your Yerusha, and the Talmud, the loyal Talmud that reflects all of your life, gets not a penny. What's more, brought out in the very Brach itself. Because when Hashem says to Avram Avinu, I'm going to give you children, Avram Avinu says, the only one that I have that's going to be Yorek me is Damesek Eliezer. And why was he called Damesek Eliezer, my friend? Dole umashke mitoras rabo lachev. Because he was such an incredible Talmud that he knew everything that Avram Avinu knew. To the point that the Medrash says he looked exactly like Avram Avinu. So Avram Avinu's complaint was that who's going to inherit me? My Talmud. And the solution was, no, don't worry, you'll have Bonim Rishayim. They'll inherit you. But that's exactly what the difference is between Yerusha and spiritual inheritance. So Mamela, what exactly was the problem over here? The problem was that Avram Avinu saw a contradiction. He says, look, the schus to Eretz Yisrael is a schus that is defined by attitude, way of thinking, way of living. Be capable of being in the Eretz of the Melech. Be capable of walking by Sot HaChayim, of being more alive, of being more aware, and so on. So this lame, if I were told, my children will have it. I understand what that means. My children will have it if they're good. Bishlam, if I were told, those who follow my path, the Gerim, they will have it. Oh, I understand. If they're there, they'll have it. They're not there, they won't have it. To tell me that something which is spiritually defined is going to be mine, be Yerusha, doesn't make any sense. It's a contradiction. And this is what the Gemara says. Ramoeda, what does Ramoeda mean? It means, says the Gemara, that he has the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that is his chus. So Hashem says, well, this chus, this, that. So he says, well, what happens when they're Rishayim? What does the chus say? So Hashem says, well, they can always bring karbonis. So he says, well, what happens if there's no big demeter? Because there's no karbonis. So what is bothering him here? What's bothering him is, it doesn't make sense to me, says Avram, to say that I'll have children that will, let's say, disappear for 200 years in the Soviet Union, never hear anything about their being Jews, never having had even a bris milah, knowing nothing of what I stand for and what I believe, and you tell me that somehow or other they're going to make their way there to Israel, that it's going to make a difference if they're there to Israel. That they're going to care about being an Israel? What are they, salmon? That instinctively they're going to seek the place where they come from? What does it mean to be Yerusha? And the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells him, Avram, you don't understand what it means to have an identity. That's your problem. Go down to the shrine, spend time in America, go to the USSR, spend your time in Bamba, Madai, Parat, go all over the world, and then you'll learn what it is to be a Jew. Meaning that when we are dealing with this Hakkocha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to make the point that in the same way that my name is Hashem, and that therefore my Hakkocha is a description of reality, it's not something that's conditional. It means that reality will force the conditions to happen, not that you have to see the conditions first. That is the nature of the Yerusha that you will have. Don't ask stupid questions about the Moraida. That was the purpose of existence. need in order that you should be there. Just don't ask how it's going to happen. Forget about the logistics. The point is, I'm telling you that if you had told it, you would have recognized clearly that the question B'mo'eda is a silly question. Because your children are expressions, are need to be expressions of you that are so much you that you cannot ask what happens if there might come meet them and act differently. They are children who have all of the yisaydes of Talmidim. But they need to be actual biological children. Gerim do not have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. So that means that B'mo'eda came to give us over a completely new vision of reality. The answer to B'mo'eda. And that answer implies that we recognize the first time that what it is that we are is defined not by how we're acting, not by how we're thinking, but something that goes deeper in how it is we were created, what we were meant to be. Therefore, is it essential to see that it's relevant? Is it essential to see that it's topical? Or just trying to make it something that's more digestible? Obviously, it's essential. That's the whole point. If B'mo'eda is an existential statement, and Eyah Asher Eyah is an existential statement, and Shmi Hashem is an existential statement, then Me'ish Adam Avoteinu V'lanu is a recognition that what has happened to us is not a coincidence, that our history is not just something that's bobbled along this way, but rather that it's an expression of what we are in exactly the same way that's an expression of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us and made it what we are. That there is no way, even if you're born in a Rishayim, and this was the reason that the first children they were told about were Rishayim, that you should know now, here in Mitzrayim, if you have born in Rishayim, what happened to them? They all died. That was what Yimei HaKoshet was for, right? We're gone. Once you get out of Mitzrayim, you should know you'll be sitting in Eretz Yisrael, and the people that will be talking to you will be Rishayim. And you'll still be sitting in Eretz Yisrael. Is that not incredible? Is it not a contradiction? So Avraham Avinu was a contradiction. How is it possible to sit in Eretz Yisrael with a government of schnooks and idiots? How is it possible to sit in Eretz Yisrael with irreligious people building the nation? How is it possible? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the whole point. It's possible because without their knowing, they'll be Moshe Nefesh for building. Because they are famine. That's exactly what they are. In the same way that there is the same instinctive recognition of Mokom in the Nefesh, so to speak, of a famine, there is an instinctive recognition in the Neshama of a Jew that will lead him ultimately to being shy of their control as well. Maybe not in one generation, and maybe not in 10 generations. But that is the process of Priya Zayla, and that is what Avraham Avinu will know. I was Mekayim when he sees the tablet. So Mamela, that means that the whole point of Yadoa Teda is achieving this level of understanding, and Mamela, the Isha Amda is indeed the center of everything. And therefore, it leads us to another PM, which is the whole Dor Vador Chayav Adam Giro Tzatzmo, Kiyu Hu Yatsam in Mitzrayim, which the Rambam brings over here in Halacha Vav. The whole Dor Vador. Why? Because if it isn't Nogea this generation, if this generation is only the result of something that once happened, but it's not now happening, then there's no answer to the Moeda. It needs to be Nogea now precisely the way it was Nogea before. Now, this only explains one of the questions that we have. We have 50 questions. It explains one question. Why we do Parshas Bikurim, and why the Isha Amda doesn't explain at all the insane disorganization of the Haggadah. So now, in order to understand the Haggadah, let's examine more clearly the halachic criteria that the Mishnah is talking about. We've seen so far one issue that was that there should be questions. And the Mishnah brings that. It's the Kan HaBen Shoel Manishtana. There needs to be questions, and we learn this out from the Yishalcha. Have questions. The next thing says the Rambam, is also Tzorach Latkil Begnus of the Sayyim B'Sheva. You must begin saying something that is disparaging, ending with something that is a Sheva. Why? We've already learned why. Because the Chiyuv of Agada comes from Zichor. Zichor means to be conscious. To be conscious means to be able to make distinctions, to be able to differentiate. You cannot be conscious of anything unless you are conscious of its opposite. Ina or nikara mitoka kosha. It's absolutely impossible to be aware of something other than theoretically unless you are in touch with its non-being as well. Now this thing of Tzorach Latkil Begnus Mitzrayim B'Sheva, that's only the second thing, there's another thing. Says the Rambam, and of course we pass this in the Mishnah too, in Aloka Hey. You have to explain what it is that you're doing. Because that's the Bavur Zeh. So it's saying you have to explain what the connection is to what you're doing. Those are three things that we have. Question, beginning, Begnus, and ending B'Sheva. And saying Tzedek Matzah Umor. And, says the Rambam at the end of all of this, he says, V'dvorim ha'evu kulam nikra'im agada, the last words of Halakha Hei. These things are what define the notion called, quote, agada, unquote. So he's giving very strict criteria. He's telling you that this is a technical definition which you must be Mekayim in order to be dealing with something called Agada. You can't simply talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim and think that you're being Mekayim in this. This is the Mitzvah Agada. Now, that middle part of Bahasa Begnus of Asayim B'Sheva, that happens to have two possible meanings. What is the Sheva? I mean, we know what the Gnus is. What is the Sheva? The Sheva could mean that things are now good. They started off bad, and they are now good. Another way of learning the Sheva is that you must also be Mishabeah. And that may be the marker for Hallel. Right? In other words, you start off with Gnus, end up the Sheva, meaning what you have achieved, and not only that, but also the fact that in having achieved it, you owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shevach for it. Lamaisa, there's a mocker for that shot in the Gemara, because the Gemara says that they were sitting once at a table, and Omalei Rav Nachman, the Daro Adi, Dapkut Zayin and Sochim, Omalei Rav Nachman, the Daro Adi, Rav Nachman spoke to his servant, Daro, and he told him, after the Matik Lemar Lecheus, the Yerbe Kast of the Hava, my boy Lememer, you ought to know, Daro, you're an Evet, what would you say about a master who frees his servant and gives him lots of gold and silver? What would your reaction be? So he says, well, boy la duye lushabuche. He would have to be Moda and be Shabbat to him. All my life, they told Daro, now we don't have to say Manishtana anymore. So once again we see that in the distinction, the moment that we become aware, the moment that we're open to the question of Sheila, we can then begin by saying the Yagoda itself. But we do also see in Daro's response that Mishabuche, he has to be Mishabea, that may well be the marker for our Hallel that we do at the end. And in fact, the Sefer Achinuch brings it this way. The Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Yud says that we are required to be Mahalal Mishabeah. That's part of the Haggadah. That's why we have, even if we would say Hallel at night, we have Hallel built into the Kosos and to the Yud of the Haggadah. Alright, so we have basically four issues then. We have the She'ela, we have the Lasko Begnus, the Sayyim B'Sheva, to say Hallel, and to say Pesach Matzah Umor. Alright. What exactly does it mean when we say that he's Chayav Lasko Begnus, whom is Sayyim B'Sheva? What does that mean? So, the Gemara asks, what is this Gnus that you're supposed to begin with? My Gnus. Says the Gemara, Rav Amar, Mitzchila Odei Avodah Skibudim, are you Avodahinu? Ushmul Amar Avodim Hayim. There's a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, how to understand the meaning of Gnus. Rav says the meaning of Gnus is to say, real Gnus, go all the way back in this. Mitzchila Odei Avodah Zorah Yavodahinu. Shmuel says, no, you're supposed to address the issues of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore say, Avodim Hayim. Now, my friends, we in our Haggadah, and of course we say both of these things, what's more, the Rambam brings the Chiyur. In other words, he understands that it's not a machloket, Rav and Shmuel. It's rather two separate ways of looking at the Chiyurim, and one is Mashum, and the other one. So we see that Machlo B'Gnus and Messiah B'Shevach include two separate things. One according to Rav, and one according to Shmuel. So what we really have over here is two separate Haggadahs that are intertwined with each other. We have a Haggadah of Rav, which is built around Mitzchila Odei Avodah Zorah HaYavodahinu, and we have an Haggadah of Shmuel, which is built around Avodim Hayinu L'Faro B'Mitzrayim. And if that's the case, then perhaps the general organization begins to make much more sense. Because now it turns out that before we say Avodim Hayinu, which is Shmuel's Haggadah, we start off by asking Banishtam. Before we say Mitzchila Odei Avodah Zorah, we also ask, because asking is part of Haggadah, right? So we have to say Arba Bonim. And their question, Mahu Omer, Ma'ay Desfachukim Va'mishpat. In other words, the same way that Shmuel has She'ela in his Haggadah, which is Mamishtama, Rav has the ingredient, which is an absolutely essential factor in the Chiyuv of Haggadah, of Efa Kofam Ve'efad Rasha, in his. And what's more, immediately after we say Avodim Hayinu L'Faro B'Mitzrayim, and describe what happens to us, we say Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, which we said doesn't belong there at all. But if this is part of Shmuel's Haggadah, then what was missing? Shevach, the other meaning of Shevach, which is the Shibuah Kolahala. So that means we have question, which is Manishtana, Matzah B'Gnus, Umitayim B'Shevach, which is Avodim Hayinu, and Hotzianu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misham, Shevach in the sense of Halal with Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, and then we do the same thing over again with Rav. Question, Chacham HaOmer, Rosh HaOmer, and so on. Mitzchila Odei Avodah Zorah, which is Matzah B'Gnus, Mitzayim B'Shevach, V'Achshav Kirvanu HaMakom, and once again, Baruch Shomer HaPosu Yisrael, Baruch Hu, exactly the same thing as Baruch HaMakom Baruch. So we end with Shevach, and we have the same precise ingredients according to Rav, and according to Shmuel, but in such a way that we could separately identify two Haggadahs that are keeping the Ikar Dinim of Haggadah. At least that's what it would appear. Now, of course, there's one remaining issue. The remaining issue is Pesach Matzah Umara. Now, Pesach Matzah Umara we haven't discussed. But what is the meaning of Pesach Matzah Umara? Let's understand. The Pesach Matzah Umara has an implication. The implication of Pesach Matzah Umara is, of course, that what it is that we are saying is directly connected to what it is that we are eating. In other words, when we say Lechem Oni, that's not just a remez, that since it happens to be that there is a chiyuv to say things, so we'll call it Lechem Oni because this is Lechem She'oni Malon. No! It means that the Aniyah and the Lechem defines the nature of the Lechem. So when we say Pesach Matzah Umara, what we're really trying to get across is that to the extent that I am involved with the materials of the Seder, to the extent that I am doing these mitzvahs as an involvement in eating, then that Se'udah itself becomes part of the nature of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. It's not that I have a meal and I'm saying a Haggadah around a meal. It's that the meal is part of the Haggadah. Shulchan Aruch is part of the Haggadah. In the same way that Pesach Matzah Maror is part of the Haggadah. So then, that means that if Rav Haggadah, B'tchilo Le'avodah Zorah Hayu Avosenu, cannot exist in a vacuum, and there needs to be in Rav Haggadah, Pesach Matzah Maror, and Shulchan Aruch, and so on, then Shmuel's Haggadah cannot exist in a vacuum either, now can it? Therefore, we have a very crazy thing, which there's no explanation for. We wash our hands, and we eat. And in the Gemara, the Karpas is not brought as Karpas. In the Mishnah, Karpas is brought as Chazeret, which is really Maror. So the Gemara has a whole question, how do you eat Maror now, and only make the bracha on Maror later on, when you're making the bracha for both of them? In other words, the lechatchila, the reason that we need to have a washing of one's hands, because the mice of washing of one's hands is the way in which we do seudah. And we need to bring out the fact, don't use a fork if you think you don't need to do a kibayim. The doctor go and wash your hands, and that's the way we pass it. We don't say, okay, let's use a fork and avoid the tirach of washing our hands. There's no fear of washing your hands if you're not eating directly with your fingers. On the contrary, we want to wash our hands. Mamela, the Rambam Paskins, and this is a big machlokas, but the Rambam Paskins, when he discusses karpas in Perek Shmini, to eat a kezayit. Because if you don't eat a kezayit, you didn't do any afila. And if you didn't do any afila, then the first Haggadah of Shmuel is talking about nothing. It needs to be involved with afila. So therefore it says, Badafka, you must eat a kezayit. So we have nothing less here than a mini meal. We have kiddush, we have washing, we have eating, and what it is that we're eating involves the reenactment of the shibud itself. That's why we use badafka, we use the remes, the tears, the salt water. Why would we use maror, lettuce, in other words? So it has everything, except it has a confronted matzah, basically. It has a confronted matzah. Oh, but it has olat mani. We were bothered by why olat mani is here, why isn't it together with the matzah maror? Aha! Shmuel is going to also have to confront matzah. So Mamela, it begins with yachas, with the olat ma'anya, so we should recognize that, everything that we're doing now revolves around maror and matzah, and what's more, it even has pesach, called the tzrichyeh zeviyitzah. Because otherwise, we wouldn't be yotzei l'chiyuv according to Shmuel, in pesach, matzah, maror. This is not to say, obviously, that we can separate these two Haggadahs out and pretend that we're going to be Yotze Lefi Rav and Yotze Lefi Shmuel. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what the Rambam is saying. But what the structure of Haggadah is saying is that you have over here an intertwined issue of two very different ideas. And we have to discuss afterwards what the nature of these different ideas are. But you have one Haggadah that revolves around Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the male, all of the issues need to revolve around Mitzvah Mitzrayim, including the need to be Mitzrayim, including the Shevach Vodov, including the questions that are asked are about issues of Mitzrayim, and therefore it has to have all of the different ingredients of Kiddush and Achila and Tzura, and Matzah and Maror and Pesach. But then you have a different Haggadah which is broader, more inclusive, which revolves around history itself, which starts from Yitzchak Be'avad Zohar Yom Avosenu. And where there the Iker Chiyuvim are brought out with a deeper Pesach Matzah Maror, a full Halal, and so on. But in order to show us the way that these two things exist and need to be addressed separately, clearly, and with an understanding of what the separate inyanim are, the Balei Haggadah created what is essentially two separate Haggadahs that exist side by side. And Mamela, we have over here our first insight into what the structure of the Haggadah is. Now you'll say, but what happened? We never said the part about Chayavadam Miratasma Kilu Yasim Mitzrayim, which the Rambam brings in Halacha Bav, and that comes out to be an essential chiyuv. It should be like
the question of the Yishanda.
But it does. It does that by bringing Maisa Brivoli as a Rabbi Yoshua.
Because the point over here is that it needs to be equally relevant to anybody now, as if he's never seen it before, because he lives it now. It's part of the understanding of Yishanda. Mamela, if it's a question of Yidia, so then why should, I already know this. Why should I bother talking about it? But if it's a question of recognizing that at this moment it's newly relevant, because that this is a description of our nature and the nature of our shaykh, so if it's a question of Tocha, if we've been absorbed, then I need to know. They were sitting in Bnei Brak, that this was came out more to them than Kriyat Shema, which we already saw. Noki Hashem Elokecha and Elukos draws from Yetzias Mitzrayim, not vice versa. So this becomes the marker. See, even that, even the equivalent of the Yishanda here. The problem is, though, that Shmuel has got a very serious difficulty. Bishleim, if we're talking according to Rav, and in Rav the issue is whether we're Ode Avodah Zorah or whether we are Mekablei Torah. There's no contradiction in Rav's Agada to the fact that we are standing in Babel or in the United States or wherever we are and we're saying this Agada. Because we were Yosef in Mitzrayim in the fact that we are keeping the Mitzvah. That's the idea. But according to Shmuel, where the whole thing revolves around the very fact of having been in Mitzrayim versus the Yetzias Eretz Yisrael, how can you say, when you're sitting not in Eretz Yisrael, you're sitting in Babel, how can you possibly say over this Haggadah, where the whole distinction is between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz, the whole distinction is between Avdus and non-Avdus. How do we know, my friends, that Avdus and Golos has nothing to do with where you are? In the Brisbane Upsorn, how do we know that it doesn't have to do necessarily with being in Eretz Yisrael or not? For how many years? 400. How many years were we in Mitzrayim? 210. So that means that the years of Golos included Eretz Yisrael. Right, and that, there's no possible way that it could have worked out any other way. So the Eretz Lolahem, it tried to be an Eretz Yisrael as an Eretz Lolahem as well. But Shmuel has to make it clear, therefore, at the beginning of his Haggadah, that the being in Eretz Yisrael itself, not being in Eretz Yisrael, is a violation of our innate status. That's why we say, L'shana b'avar d'Yisrael. Why are we here? Because of Shatah. The fact that we're not there is because we still have a sense of Avdus and Efar and Zohar. But our L'shon Abba and Efar, and why L'shon Abba? Andrew? Why L'shon Abba? Because he's trying to say that the changeover from Shibud to Gula is instantaneous once I recognize that it's a Mitzvah that has been achieved. If I'm truly an Eved, well, you know, what right do I have to say L'shana B'Avar Yisrael? What right do I have to say L'shana B'Avnei Chorin? But if I'm introducing the whole point of my Agada saying, look, it has been achieved. The Avtocha was Mekuyim. It's Nogea now, it's D4, it's Mitzrayim as if it happened today, just like it was in Bnei Brak. But you're asking me why I'm here. That's something that is a violation of the way I really am. I'm an Eved. But I certainly expect next year to be there because of the fact that it's been established already, because of the fact that it's been achieved. Had it not been achieved, I never could have said anything of the sort. So for all intents and purposes, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. I've already gotten there. That's the attitude of Lashon Hara. But we go even further. We even invite people to a carbon pesach that I can't possibly bring, as if it's right here in front of me. Because that the same sense, the Olah Ka'anya, is that it is I, and that, by the way, is why I must do the Akat myself, it is I that have created the sense of whatever is Chatzar over here, If Lacamoni is Lacamoni, that's broken, and I'm really still feeling Shibu. It's not because Geula hasn't been achieved. It's because, personally, I'm not Nigam. So we have over here two very different concepts of the Haggadah. One of which tells us that we have to look at Yetzias Mitzrayim almost the way that Moshe Rabbeinu originally did. Hatzelo Yitzal Tes Amcha, we suffered, and we were Nigam. We had a Hatzolo. We were Avodim, and now we're B'nei Chor. But the other one, the other Haggadah of Rav, that is referring to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Vayera to Moshe Rabbeinu, where he says, Moshe, I'm not responding to the problem of Golas Mitzrayim to take them out. That's not my problem. I created Golas Mitzrayim. Why would I need to respond to it? What would be the point of responding to a Golas that I created? The point of the need for the Golas was to achieve broader goals. Those goals began when I chose a man centuries before. It was a guy named Terach. You don't even know him, Moshe. And out of Terach, I chose somebody. And it's that choosing that went on stage after stage, step after step, to lead to a purpose that I had in mind. And that's how you have to look at this Yetzirah. It was already Munach and Shishis Yemei Bereishis. That's how you have to look at it. The Golas was created to make the Yetzirah possible. Not that the Yetzirah was a response to the terrible problems you're having in Mitzrayim. If that's the way you want to look at things, you'll never be free. Because you'll always be stuck with the fact that you were Mishubadim. That you needed to be rescued and pulled out. And that's completely the opposite of the reality. The reality is that there was a thought here which created Mitzrayim, which created the Shiva in Mitzrayim, for one purpose and one purpose only. To serve you. To allow you to become what you needed to become. That was the only purpose. The moment that you were finished with Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim was tossed aside like an old husk. There was nothing left of Mitzrayim. Because its only purpose was to serve as a body for you during your sojourns, during the time that you needed to become what I created you to be. Those two different aspects of the Haggadah, we will see, are central in understanding the whole Yetzirah. The way that they are intertwined is also essential.